Pamela Resendiz Trujano. Your organization, Colorado Jobs with Justice, is part of a coalition of labor rights groups calling on Denver City Council to pass this ordinance. What exactly does it do, and how long did it take to go from proposal to law?
So our coalition has been working with city council stakeholders and individuals that are trying to ensure workers are able to recuperate all wages, regardless of the amount owed. We have been working on this for almost 3 years. We started with a different sort of perspective. We wanted to address the wage theft that happens in the construction industry, and we wanted to do a wage bond. But however, through conversations, through coalition meetings, we decided to expand that protection to all workers. And from the wage bond, we were able to co-create the wage theft ordinance. And what that ordinance will do is that it will empower Denver Labor to investigate wage theft. And it will allow victims of wage theft to also recuperate unpaid wages, regardless of the amount that they are owed.
What's the significance of having a new administrative pathway for recovering wages rather than having to go through the courts, which had been the prior way of doing this?
Yeah, what this ordinance will do is that it will make it more accessible for workers to actually be able to recuperate those wages. Previously, workers had to either go through the court system or had to be about a specific amount, $7,500 owed in order to even attempt to recuperate those wages. And even in the attempt to recuperate those wages, there was no actual way for them to get paid. A lot of these employers are notorious for either disappearing or no longer having their LLC. And so there was no actual way for workers to get paid. With this ordinance that also has up the chain liability, it will allow a worker, regardless of who their employer was, to hold the main employer accountable. So in this example, the general contractor, for the wages that are stolen, if they continue to hire subcontractors that are doing lower bids because they're not paying their workers. And so workers are now going to be able to go to the Denver auditor's office, file a complaint regardless of the amount, and be able to recuperate those wages without having to have a lengthy court process. We know a lot of workers aren't able to hire a lawyer, have the time to chase money that they are owed, as well as a lot of the workers that often experience a lot of the wage theft are workers of color, are women, are folks that are only monolingual speakers that don't speak necessarily English, and undocumented workers. So this will ensure that all workers, regardless of immigration status, regardless of idiom that they speak, and regardless of the amount that they have experienced to be stolen from them, they will be able to get it back.
The lack of documentation can oftentimes be used as leverage to keep a worker from reporting being the victim of wage theft. How does this law prevent that from happening?
The wage theft ordinance will make it so a worker can feel more comfortable engaging with the city of Denver, the auditor's office, who keep the investigations confidential to the point where until the wages are recuperated. And so this will allow a worker who is afraid to speak out to know that it's going to be okay to flag this and to make sure that they get their wages back.
For illustrative purposes, can you list the various forms that wage theft can take?
Yeah, wage theft can take not only in the withholding of the wages that you were either promised or are actually owed, but wage theft also can occur when there's misclassification of your status of worker, as well as when you are forced to work overtime and you don't get overtime pay, or when you're forced to work off the clock, or when you're even not given your lunch break.
And when you say misclassification, is that for example, workers who are classified as full-time exempt and being made to work more than 40 hours?
Yes. So the misclassification of an independent contractor is when the employer is either asking or encouraging the worker to classify themselves as independent contractors when in all reality, they actually treat them like employees. They wear the branding of their company. They are told when to kind of work, when to get off work, what kind of work to do, and actually aren't necessarily independent contractors, they're employees.
And the level of wage theft is fairly shocking. It's now at record levels in Denver. According to the Colorado Fiscal Institute, employers steal about $730 million from Colorado workers each year. How does this happen and why has it gotten so out of hand? This is something that's increasingly gone up in the past few years.
So the reason why I feel it happens is because the industry, not only folks in the construction industry, but various industries have gotten away with this being normalized, telling workers not to have their lunch, telling workers that they won't get paid overtime, or having them work off the clock. And one of the main issues and one of the benefits of this ordinance is that now we'll be able to have the data that the Denver Auditor's Office collects with regards to how many wage theft cases they are going after. Before, there's no real mechanism to track what a problem this was in the city of Denver. And with this ordinance, we'll be able to obtain that data. But not only that, we'll be able to ensure that the worker is able to recuperate those wages and that someone is being held accountable.
Before this ordinance was passed, workers rallied outside of Denver City Council chambers yesterday to urge council members to pass it. And a lot of people showed up to yesterday's meeting to share their stories of wage theft. And can you share some stories that just stand out to you?
Yeah, one of the main stories that stands out to me is from a domestic worker who attempted to recuperate stolen wages through the court system. They have about $6,000 stolen from different employers at different times. And they are told that they're going to get paid and they also disappear or completely ignore the calls. And because some of these workers are Spanish speaking and are undocumented, employers think that they can get away with it. And so those are the stories that happen, it has a huge impact in able to pay rent, in able to get food, in able to afford your medication, pay your car insurance to go to work. And so at times workers find it easier to just move on than try to recuperate those wages because of the challenge that it is to go through the courts or go through the Department of the CDLE, right? The Colorado Department of Labor and Enforcement. And so with this, workers that are in the city of Denver are going to be able to do this much faster, much easier. And there's actually going to be a company or individual held accountable to ensure that wages are paid back.
And finally, in other cities outside of Denver, across Colorado, what options do workers have if their employer decides to not pay them or to short their paychecks?
Outside of the city of Denver, I would say they can still go through the CDLE process. But like I said, that does not necessarily mean that there's going to be a guaranteed monetary amount that it's actually going to be given back. I think one of the best things that workers are doing is that they're organizing, they're coming together with their work co-workers who may have experienced that same issue, are doing either direct action on that employer or are going to worker centers or organizations like Towards Justice that will support you in ensuring to get you to recuperate those wages if you are able to fill out an intake form and if you meet the qualifications that they need in order to proceed with supporting a worker.
My guest today has been Pamela Resendiz Trujano, Executive Director of Colorado Jobs with Justice. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you so much for having us.